Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the Palm Sunday service, March 21st, 2024, at Plymouth. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Sing songs of loudest praise, Hosanna. Sing songs that are unashamed. Sing songs without being afraid. Hosanna in the lowest. Sing for the God of tomorrow and today.
Hosanna forever.
Let us worship the one worthy to be praised.
Next is the hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Next is the hymn, He is Lord.
Jesus. As we prepare to hear our morning's scripture passages, let us first bow in prayer. God of grace, your word is like a song. It is a melody that we long to sing. The refrain that we pray will get stuck in our heads. So as we return to scripture once more, we pray that you would allow us to sink into this song. Allow us to hear the truth in between the words. Allow the cries of the crowds, Hosanna, to feel like our own words, our own song being sung. With open hearts and with open ears, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Our psalm reading is 31, 9 through 16. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. This is the word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, Lord, listen to your children praying.
So we turn to our gospel reading. We find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. And by the way, this is one of the briefest examples of the triumphal entry of Jesus on this Palm Sunday. We begin at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd had come to the festival, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This is the word of the Lord. Today's scripture reading is about the entry of two kings on the stone streets of Jerusalem. Two kings. We read about one, but actually, in the historical context, there are two kings that entered Jerusalem, and they came in from different entrances. Both kings entered Jerusalem about this time of Passover. Their entry, though, was for very different reasons. The first king, small k, entered Jerusalem from the west, having just conquered another territory. The chief reason for this parade was to demonstrate military might and to revel in their victory. The poor people would be pushed back. The rich people would be invited forward to witness the parade. As the king came and his army pranced into town with their flashy armor, shiny swords, chariots, helmets, spears, oh, the whole deal, all of it was there. This was about being a spectacle. The king came in on a grand stallion, perfectly groomed, this shiny sheen for all to admire. It was about intimidation and control, the ultimate display of political empire. There was another reason the first king, small k, entered Jerusalem at this time of the Passover. The Romans wanted to keep the Jews of Jerusalem under control. The Passover, after all, was a reminder of the time that God saved the Israelites from the oppression of the Egyptians. At the time of the story was being celebrated, the Romans didn't want the Jews to get any ideas about freedom, because ideas about freedom are dangerous. And what better way to remind them that their place was as an occupied people. So this entrance into Jerusalem, displaying Rome's strength at this occasion, was another colonial victory in the name of the first king, small k, Pontius Pilate. But a second king enters Jerusalem, not from the west end, but coming from the east end, near the Mount of Olives. He had conquered no territory. He secured no military victories. And instead of pushing the poor people back, invited the poor people forward. They were invited to come. Come and see this entrance. This procession had no weapons to see, no chariots, no helmets, no spears, no shiny objects. There was no army following as far as the eye could see. In fact, this second king did not process on a grand stallion. This king had no interest in intimidation or control. He had no concern for a display of political empire because his kingdom was not of this world. This second king, coming in on that lowly colt, had done many great things, and that's why the crowd kept calling him blessed. They'd heard the stories. The stories of him curing a man with unclean spirits. They've heard the stories of healing a woman with a high fever. Stories of healing a leper and a paralytic. Stories of him saying, "Blessed are you poor, hungry, and you who weep." Stories of him of preaching love for their enemies, something that no Roman emperor would ever say. They'd heard parables that he told, and stories passed through the grapevine. They'd even heard a story of him feeding 5,000 people with nothing more than a few loaves and a couple of fish. So these are the reasons that they were saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." These were the reasons they were saying, "Peace in heaven, glory in the highest heaven." It is because they wanted peace. And they wanted someone to win it for them because they could not do so without help. They wanted this king to overthrow that king and the Roman occupiers, but it was yet to be seen whether or not he would do that in the fashion that they expected. And this second king, as you may have guessed, is named Jesus Christ. It's interesting that as we've read this story of the triumphal entry, the Hosanna sung from the Gospel of John, it is Luke in his gospel that he adds a number of other details to this story. That as the people are crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, it is the chief priests and the rulers and the Pharisees that tell Jesus, silence these people. And Jesus' answer is, if I were to tell them to be quiet, even the stones themselves would cry out. Even the stones of the street. If these stones could shout out, they could tell the stories of these two kings. These two kings with very different styles and very different messages. The one king wanting to intimidate and dominate, control. The other king wishing to invite and to heal. The one king processes after a military victory. The other king does so after preaching about turning the other cheek. One king followed by an endless trail of mighty warriors. The other king followed by a bunch of fishermen, tax collectors, and a number of other commoners. One king approaches Jerusalem from the west, the other from the east. The two kings, by the way, are bound to collide. And collide they will. You see, this collision was predicted by some of the Pharisees, particularly the ones that implored Jesus to silence his followers, the ones that were saying, blessed is the king. The Pharisees liked to play nice to the Romans, and they knew that this was a display of political controversy. No doubt it would get the attention of the Romans, and particularly the governor, the king, small k, Pontius Pilate. It was Pontius Pilate that had entered the city of Jerusalem from the west just 2 days before this entrance of this king from the east. There was many items and aspects for the potential of insurrection by the Jews. But the second king Jesus was not the only leader stirring the pot. Pontius Pilate did not understand the Jews very well and decided that rather than to try and understand them, he would simply alienate them, threaten them, beat them down to control them. And so what did he do? He took Roman shields, the kind that you go into battle with, the ones with Caesar imprinted on the shield, and he put them in the Jewish temple. An insult to Jewish faith and Jewish religion. And so by desecrating the temple for them. So both kings were stirring the pot in their own ways. Pilate by asserting supreme Roman authority, and Jesus by challenging that authority. But the way that Jesus chose to challenge this authority was very peculiar. He didn't challenge this authority by raising an army to go against it, army against army. But the task that Jesus, he could have done if he wished to. But instead he asserted the authority of God by embodying another type of law. The type of law that says, love one another, whatever the cost. The disciples, Peter included, as we heard in our passage, did not understand what the Hosannas signified. But they would learn in days to come. And they would remember. And they would sing songs of loudest praise. But not today. For us today, this is the day that we begin living out Holy Week. And all we've done for all these weeks of Lent have prepared for this week as it begins the momentous events day after day after day, and eventually the clash of one king hitting heads with another king. In this Holy Week, we have much to do as a congregation. You and I, as we walk with Jesus to the cross and the empty tomb, we have things to do, like on Thursday, to celebrate Maundy Thursday, where Jesus meets with his disciples in the upper room, breaks bread with them, gives them a new commandment, love one another, washes their feet, and gives them an example of a new kind of. And then we will gather on Easter Sunday. To follow this sixth day in terms of Luke's gospel and focusing on the stones crying out, "In my name." The stones of that upper room would see him breaking the bread, pouring the cup. They would tell the story of how Satan entered into the heart of Judas. They would tell the disciples by the love that we show for one another. If the stones located in the gate of the garden, affirming his act of love even to the end, would heal that ear of those who came to arrest him. If the stones in Herod's palace could talk, they would tell us that an innocent man was being sentenced to death for no other reason than his inconvenient gospel of love and life. Those stones would tell us that he was beaten and made to carry his own crossbeam of the very cross that they would nail him to. If the stones could talk, the stones located on the hill of Golgotha could talk. They would tell us of Jesus crying out to God, "Forgive the very people who were crucify him." They would tell us that he took his final breath, and there he died. If the stones that sealed the tomb could speak, they would tell us of Jesus' lifeless body lying cold, lifeless, in that dark hole. And if we stick around long enough, that same stone rolled away might just tell us a very different story 1 week from today. The stones would cry out. Friends, if we were silent and did not tell this story, the story that begins today with Palm Sunday and marches through a very busy week, the stones themselves would shout out. But there's no need for that. There's no need for that, because we will tell this story. This week, it will be one filled with reading, with prayer, and perhaps even some tears as well. But the tears will not last. The tears are temporary, for good news is on its way. And it is for us to gather and sing songs with the loudest praise together.
Next is the hymn, "He is Exalted."
Thank you.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Thank you.